Hey, I'm Simone.
And I'm Jess. We're two long-distance best friends who are states away.
But our bond has never been closer. From spirituality to spirited conversations,
we're here to share them with you.
So welcome to Fly Talks.
Come fly with us for a bit.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome back. This is episode 7 of
Fly Talks.
Y'all, today is a rather rough episode, simply because we're going to be discussing heartbreak and the effects that it has on us. Recently, Jess went through a breakup, and there have been some ups and downs with the breakup process, but recently it's been officially set in stone. And I know my beautiful friend has been struggling to come to terms with it. There's been a multitude of emotions and frustrations. And I know oftentimes when we're dealing with and the ending of relationships, we have so many unresolved emotions. And I wanted to speak about this with Jess to not only give her healing, but also to find insight and resolve within herself, to understand that through it all, we can make it through the storm, essentially. Yeah. So, yeah, let's get into it. So, what was the like defining moment at the end of your relationship where you felt like, okay, it's time for me to really reevaluate where the relationship was going?
I'm trying to get my pride out of the way, I guess, when it comes to explaining this, because I think a lot of the pieces that like we didn't get through and all of those things are because she didn't want to, not because I did. Mm-hmm. So I got broken up with. So I think my angle is a little different, because although I can see now that it's a choice that I should have made, it wasn't a choice that I made. Yeah. So I think there were signs. We were in a long distance relationship, so I think that puts a toll on anybody. And I think I was the person who was more ready to move forward, to move, figure out, you know, how to combine our lives together. And it was just evident that that wasn't wanted by the other person. So, I mean, I think she ended it off of the strength that it got to be too much, because I think reality starts to sink in, right? It's like, there's only so long, and I don't want to say play games, because I believe we had a pure relationship, but there's also only so long you can coast and be, you know, this happy couple, but there's something in between you. So it's kind of like shit or get off the pot type of shit. And she got off the pot, you know?
Yeah, I understand. I think because I know the relationship fairly well,
yeah,
I do want to give you a level of credit, because I don't want it to be framed of like, well, I mean, I don't have a choice of how it's framed. But I want you to rethink the fact that you noticed when things were going awry.
I did.
It was less about like, oh, I was blindsided.
Yeah.
You felt it. And from what I know, there, in most cases, when there starts to be trouble in a relationship, there's usually a person who like tries harder.
Yep.
And I think that's where you were. And I think that's a beautiful quality to have in a relationship. When you saw that there was something that was off, you wanted to work on it, you know? So I want you to think, like, just be mindful of that, you know, because you were a strong pillar in your relationship.
That's kind of where I like beat myself up at, because I'm kind of like, so basically, I mean, y'all know how it goes. We broke up once, and then we tried the kind of like reuniting thing, that kind of gray area. It didn't last very long. But it makes me feel like I kind of went back for more, like to learn the same lesson twice. And it's just a little difficult because looking back at it, it's like, yes, I'm the person who fought the hardest per se, but it's also like I'm the person who didn't listen or read the signs. Because it's like, although it was kind of weird and it was patchy and there were these gray areas that I feel like I had to figure out what was what, there was also a part in our relationship where I think she really did try to communicate that we were in different places. And I think I didn't want to hear it. And then it happened again the second time. We're in different places. I wanted to push past her experience because I thought I could fix it, which in a way, like, I don't know. I say this all the time, I guess, in regards to our relationship, is it's hard because I can't villainize her. So there's a human part of her that I know and that I know has truly loved me and cared for me, but also needs to, you know, do the independent work. But I think it's painful because I didn't listen the first time or make that decision for myself when I started feeling that manifested in our relationship. It was almost like trying to figure out what do you fight for versus where your self-respect comes into play. And I guess that's kind of where I get a little shaky for myself.
Yeah, I'd love for you to walk me through the emotional aspects. What are you feeling? And be as candid as you need to be. Say all of the emotions that you feel.
Okay, so I think I'm in the angry phase. Because I think I realized how much, I don't even think I'm angry at her. I think I'm realizing that I could have made a choice to kind of step away and the healing process would have begun a long time ago. I also, like, you know, I did what they say you don't do, which is break the no contact rule. And it's like setting yourself up, you know, for failure because she told me that she didn't want to be with me. We didn't talk anymore. And then I reached back out. And it's like, okay, somebody tells you they don't want you, then you go back a second time. Like, you know, and although it felt good and although we, you know, did all the things and it felt like we fell right back into place, per usual, the same issues, you know, arose. And I think that the part of me now, I'm not really kicking myself, but also I'm kind of kicking myself because I'm like, I could have been like, we broke up, I think, June, July, August, September, October. Whatever. I could have been like 5 months into healing versus reversing my experience, going back to square one and then getting my heart broken again like 3 weeks ago. Like, you know, like it just kind of felt unnecessary. Yeah.
Do you see that when you're in it, there's no way for you to know that, though?
Ooh, that's helpful. That's helpful. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because like you said, it's like you get to zoom out. You're outside of like that love bubble and that hope bubble and the fantasy almost. And like you said, it kind of allows me to kind of look back and be like, okay, well, you were in love. So at what point were you supposed to feel like this isn't worth fighting for, you know, like that's what you do in a relationship. So I think that is helpful just to understand that perspective most definitely.
Yeah. Love can be blinding. In the sense, and not in like the negative sense, because people always say like love makes you do crazy things. But I think on the other side of that, love makes you very focused on the other person. And when you're in a functional relationship, it's a beautiful thing. So that is something that, you know, doesn't necessarily need to be lost. But I think also the beautiful thing is you've, at the same time, you've also been cultivating a stronger sense of self for you.
Yeah.
You know, so even through this time where it's like, damn, what the fuck? Like, why would this happen to me? There's lessons that you've been learning for yourself. You know,
I think that's like the frustrating part is like, I've been through so much relationship wise where it's like I finally thought, like, you know, when you feel like you finally, like, I'm like, damn, it can't get no worse.
Yeah.
It can't get no worse than what I've already been through. And I really just felt, and I'm not like blaming God by any means, because I do believe it was a needed relationship. But I felt like when we first met, everything just clicked. It was like, okay, God put us together. Like, that's genuinely how I felt. And that genuinely is what it is. It just wasn't forever. And I think for me, I guess I'm just starting to kind of see, I don't know, I'm trying to like not be in that resentment zone of like, I really can't do this again. Like, I really thought like, this is it for me. I'm tired. Like, you know?
Yeah. It's like when you open yourself up, reopen yourself up to someone, and then for it to period. Yeah. By the way, just opened her hands like legs.
Open yourself up.
Open yourself up in many ways to, you know, a new person. And then it doesn't go that way. The way that you wanted it to, or you thought it would, it is disappointing, you know? And I'd love to know, in this raw place, for anyone who is in a similar predicament where they are fighting for a relationship that may not be working, but they're in that bubble.
Yeah.
What would you say are some things to look out for when you recognize it's time to choose yourself?
I think when you're trying to explain your value in somebody's life, like, it's almost like you're selling yourself. Like, I know for me, we were supposed to, well, I wanted to do the move to where she was. And I felt like I kept trying to highlight why it would be beneficial and what it would bring to her life and how, you know, it would just put us both in better places. And I feel like when somebody knows the gift that you are, they know that. You don't have to double down and try to say, okay, I bring this to the table. I bring joy. And it's like, obviously, that should be why they're with you. So that would be my one. Whenever it starts to feel like you're a salesman and you're kind of just like pitching why you should be in somebody's life, that's one. And that's anybody. But two is like, I think the reason I'm in this phase of like kicking myself kind of thing is because in my experience, she said a lot of things directly. And I think the second lesson that I would say is like, believe people when they speak. And I think for me, it was like, okay, we love each other. And I know she loves me. You know, it wasn't that, but it was like, when somebody tells you, like, for example, I'm gay, but I know a lot of men be like, you know, I'm going through some shit right now and I can't really handle a relationship. And it's like, all right. So when you jump in it and now it's a situationship and it don't turn out the way that you thought, that accountability piece has to hit. And it's like, I think that's where I'm at.
Not your face. Sorry. I thought of South Fulton when he said that. So I wanted to throw up.
Yikes. Yeah.
So I understand. I hear you.
It's like people will really like, I can't accuse her. I'm at a big age of like, I met a good person, you know? But I also met someone who wasn't my person. And when she tried to tell me that, I didn't receive it. So it's like you just like anything else, don't force yourself places. Yeah. If somebody's telling you you don't belong, for you to really be like, no, I do. That's so devaluing to yourself. And I think I'm at a place where I just kind of regret being so like willing to fit in any gap that she let me into, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's almost like what I've seen with your evolution has been, once again, you have been much more self-assured in who you are. And so I think potentially this just could have been a lesson in understanding that instead of trying to fit yourself into someone else's person-shaped hole that they're trying to fill, it's less about that and more about finding the person whose hole is perfectly shaped for you.
Hey! A poet.
Don't force it in there. Yeah, you feel me? You like that? You like that?
If it fits, it fits, baby.
If it fits, it fits. It's true. Like, you should not have to conform or contort yourself to fit in anybody's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are a larger than life, beautiful, effervescent person. And not saying that she tried to like get you to fit. It was more so about what you chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's what I have to sit in, you know? Yeah. It's like, this isn't the first time. Like, I'm learning that it's a habit of mine of like not walking away when it's obvious. And now you're getting to the point where you're not walking away when somebody's verbatim telling you.
Wow.
So now it's like, I can't place the guilt on a person who was honest. I have to look at myself and kind of just be like, okay, what is it about you necessarily that makes you feel like you can't find this and more? And I think like Simone and I had, funny enough, we tried to record this conversation the first time we broke up. Then the audio, it was God, because the audio was bad. And also we got back together, kind of. So the first time we had talked about everything, I remember landing in a place where I told Simone, like, she was my best, but that doesn't mean that she's the best person.
Yes.
Yeah. And that stuck with me, but it didn't stick with me. It came out of my mouth, but it didn't register. So it's kind of like when I had said that thing, like, how many times am I supposed to do this again? And I'm tired. It's kind of like she's the epitome of love for me and the best that I've felt in a relationship, but also not the best that exists, you know?
Yeah. And it takes like time and the willingness to open yourself up to more and better and new. And it's hard to do that when you're tired. When you're over the dating game, you're like, oh my God. Okay, fine. Honestly, because I get it too. This is your conversation.
Nah, girl.
Similarly, I was in a relationship where I was like, I thought this was my man. I was like, weird. I'm good. I don't need anybody else. Mind you, there's a whole bunch of crazy shit going on in the background. Most people don't really know about it. And I'm trying to make it work for the sake of this relationship.
Yeah.
Because you're tired and you're like, I don't want to start over. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, bringing it back to God, because that's what we do at Fly Talks.
Yeah.
I think there is a new lesson in every failed relationship that God is trying to teach you. Mm-hmm. And until you get it, you're going to have to keep learning that lesson over and over again.
That's the part, because as much as I am tired, I can think of something similar that I did right before that, that if I would have done that differently the first time, I would have been able to hop the fuck out of this bitch. Like, I would have been able to say, okay, you don't see the value of our union. You don't see the value of what I bring to the table, because no matter what it is that you're saying, although somebody's telling you like, oh, I think you're important, yada, yada, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
If you are not prioritizing me, something in me should be like, ding, ding, ding. Nope. Got somewhere else to go. But a habit of mine is literally trying to fight through things. I think it makes me stronger. I think it makes me the person that can love you past everything. It makes it makes me the person who, like, it's funny because I had, like, this is crazy because my first really, really bad breakup, I was young. But I kind of had written a poem and a story about it, of basically saying, like, you teach people how to treat you, basically. There's only so long you can villainize somebody in your story.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was 19. I'm 30. So I can't play the fiddle and be like, damn, she really tried my shit. Some people lie. She wasn't a liar. That was not her, like, MO. That wasn't how she moved. She wasn't a liar. But she was somebody who would let me stay around as long as I would be willing to, you know, and not officially, not as a girlfriend, maybe as a friend. But if I didn't choose to remove myself, I would have just been like, you know, no, it's all or nothing.
Yeah. I I would love for you to applaud yourself because you have just learned that lesson. I have like many like guides and healers along my spiritual path, but there is one guy who I like talk to every now and again. I don't know if I'd said this on any episode before, but he was saying like one of your life's purposes as someone with discernment is to pay attention to what your spirit is telling you. Mm-hmm. You reward yourself when you listen, and you also reward yourself when you don't, and you recognize that you don't listen.
Ooh.
So even though you didn't act on it in that relationship, mm-hmm. you're noticing it now. That right there is good enough.
Girl, I can't not acknowledge it. I can't yeah. not see the me in it.
Yes.
Because yes. I'm really like one of those people, I'll make excuses for somebody all day. And I think I have to learn that, like, for me, I guess, like, I feel like I have this problem in terms of seeing everybody as like naturally flawed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I try my best not to take offense to things because I know that they're outside of me. And a part of that is my psych brain. Like, yeah. I'll be like, oh, you've been through this. So you act like this. And I've been through hella shit. And I don't treat people the way I could treat people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like I have to acknowledge that if I have the strength to grow out of something and also choose a better pattern, then I deserve to be with somebody who, in spite of everything that they've dealt with, knows how to treat somebody the way that they should be treated, you know?
Absolutely. Because that's the one of the bare minimum qualities that you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so if someone isn't going to behave in that same way and show you that same level of regard, that's not a person for you, regardless of how much you love them.
What you just said is the bare minimum. I really needed to hear that because I think when you go through, as women or anybody in a relationship, like you go through so much that her bare minimum was the most that I've gotten. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like her bare
minimum. You saw that and you saw it. Yeah.
Was love for me. Like everything, the kindness, the gentleness, the support, everything that I deserve and that should be a no-brainer in a relationship was what was the height for me, which is like, yeah. if you look at people that you choose, that's without a doubt. That shouldn't be something that makes you want somebody. It should be that solidified.
Right.
You come that way. So what else do you add to that? And I think for me, yeah, I think her just being that in itself and her just listening and her being patient and being kind and all of the things that I deserve. I thought that was the best that there was out there. Like I really did.
Yeah. This is going to sound so crazy, but as a lesbian,
period.
Do you feel like what is the conversation that happens in the lesbian community about mm-hmm. relationships like that or situations like that? Like, do you hear a lot about that?
I feel like I don't. I feel like we have very like nuanced conversations. Like, of course there's like the stigmas of like, we be U-hauling and you meet somebody mm-hmm. in a day and then you're married the next day. And it's so funny because we were the opposite, right? Like in lesbian terms, we should have been moving forward. And even my pace that was slower than that was reacted to like it was fast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I would say is I don't think there's a difference. I don't think there's a difference in somebody telling you who they are, showing you who they are, and you making a decision to stay or go. It's not gender specific.
Yeah.
I think women I have learned have a better way of communicating, but I dealt with a woman who was horrible at communicating. And it wasn't just the last one. I can't give her that. She was a great communicator, but oh my God, couldn't say a word. So I've been in both places. So I can say like, women aren't perfect. I'm not perfect, but I think it's a universal knowing that you should just have as somebody with a strong self-esteem and self-worth, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense, because that is going to directly affect how they show up in the relationship.
You know? That's another thing too, my requirements. And I'm so sorry, like, y'all.
Why are you sorry? Sorry for what?
Because I know I keep like interjecting, but it's like I keep having epiphanies.
Let me tell y'all this real quick before I said, Jessica, this is you're going to get downloads as you have this conversation. So I'm glad this is happening. Please continue. That was the point.
I didn't want to do it, y'all. I was scared. I was scared, and I think I didn't want to speak ill of somebody. And it's not speaking ill of that person. It's speaking highly of me. And I think ultimately, like, our goal here is to inspire. So if I can motivate anybody to choose themselves instead of chasing, like, I felt like I was chasing somebody.
Yeah.
And if I can motivate you to choose yourself over doing something like that, then here I am to talk about it, you know?
God, well done, baby. Yeah, but you said you'd had a little interjection.
I don't know. I might have lost it, but I think in general, what's coming to my mind is just like just the old traditional, like you said, if it fits, it fits. Like, and I think, okay. What I will say is this. I think I did learn that this relationship, I think I was treating like a marriage, and I don't know how to explain that.
Okay.
So let me explain. So I think a lot of women do this. I think we go through that for better or for worse phase, and you're not married, sis. Like, you're not married. This is not, there's no documents. You don't have to struggle. You don't. But we're always like, I'll take it, I'll eat it. Like, every single time I can think of so many women in my life that were just like, man, like, you're not done working on yourself. You guys are feeling like this, you feeling like that, but I'm strong enough to stand by you. I got it. And it's like, this is not my wife. And I think I really am sitting in that now, because I think all of the things that I tried to struggle with her in was me feeling like, okay, I have to do this. This is my version of support.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah. Marriage is marriage for a reason. And she didn't want that shit either. So, and that makes sense, right? Like, yes. It adds up.
Yeah, I think we often apply the unconditional love aspect too early. When someone hasn't really proven that they deserve that, really. And I think we as women, we have a natural instinct to love with our full hearts and to look past flaws, to help through flaws. We're healers, we're motivators by nature. And not to get into like the binary, because I think this is, you know what I'm saying? Like, but there's when you are in your feminine energy, that is those are the qualities that you want to exude.
Yes. Yeah.
But we often give so much of that before we are given the reciprocated energy, which is that acceptance and that provision and that solidified aspect of a relationship that like is complementing that. And so you know, it's definitely a lesson of really checking and seeing like, okay, is this person really checking all the boxes? And I think especially when you want love, you want a relationship. So you're like, I just want to put this somewhere because I this is me. Like, I want to give this.
Putting this, I just want to put this somewhere. Shannon and I is so funny because we laugh about it. But when we see people who are like, let's say you see Love is Blind and then you see people who are like totally mismatched. Or whatever. Yeah. So Shannon always be like, you're just trying to feel something. Like, you're just trying to feel something. It's not connected to this person. It's not, you're trying to feel something. So I think that is something I also would like take note of internally for anybody who's listening is what is it that you are looking for? Can it be provided within yourself prior to?
Yeah.
And is it something that you are avoiding finding in a different way? You know? So yeah, so it's that's like, good. Girl, but no, like I'm guilty, like, you know what I mean? But I mean, this is going to tie into our next episode, won't jump there, but there also is only so much that you can work on until you find the right person. So it's not to say that there's this like evolving door of like, you can't be happy or you can't have anyone until you've made complete terms with yourself. That's never going to happen because we're dedicated to continue to grow. But the, once again, the bare minimum should be provided within yourself. Like,
you yeah. No, that's so true. I think there, we talk a lot about self-love in society, especially when it comes to women, like love yourself. You can't love yourself before you love anyone else. Or you can't, no one will love you until you love yourself, whatever, all those little quotes. But really it's like, you have to make sure that you got you first.
Ooh.
You have to make sure. Oh, go ahead.
No. I'm listening.
I don't want you to lose your point because I know you got something going on in there. I want to hear it.
It just reminds me of Iyanla. I love my sister girl.
Love you so much.
Yeah, she was saying you can't teach somebody how to love you. You can look at how they love you and say, is this enough for me or not?
Ooh.
And that is really how I feel about this relationship. I think what made it so hard for me is I know she was giving her best. That's what makes it hard. You know, like when you see somebody trying with all of their might, like I'm trying to give you everything I have. It's not enough. Mm-hmm. And I felt wrong for saying that. I felt wrong for feeling that. But now that I'm looking back on what Iyanla said, it really is just like somebody could give you all they got. This is how they love. This is what they have. This is what they come with. You like it or not, because when you accept it and you say, okay, I know this is how you love and I'm here and I'm going to take it, you can't complain about it every day. So right. I think I was trying to do both, you know?
Yeah. And then on top of that, the right person for you is going to shift based on your needs as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody comes into a relationship perfect, like, oh, we love each other exactly how we, you know, the right way that we want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who is for you is going to ask you, is going to inquire about, is going to shift their, you know, the way that they show up because they love you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she was giving all that she could, but her all was not enough. In the sense that it was not willing to shift to you.
Ooh, I had written this list after we had broken up the first time. And it was like, what do I want? And I literally said, I want someone who's willing to shift for me. I felt like she was so grounded in how she felt and so strong in her beliefs that everything felt like you're asking somebody to compromise themselves and then you feel unfair for doing that because it's not right. And I want somebody, like you said, sees that I'm unhappy and it doesn't change who they are, but it changes how they approach us because they know that we matter as a unit and it takes two people to be happy, not one, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. I feel like there's a difference between being grounded and being stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Grounded people are adaptable because they're rooted in themselves and they know that their people are different from them.
Yeah.
And in an effort to accommodate for the people that they care about, they shift based on those people around them. Mm-hmm. Someone who is stubborn is so focused on themselves because they are insecure within who they are. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of stubborn people are afraid of change.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is just like, I don't know. I think that's where I kind of lost myself too. And like, I have to respect that her non-negotiables were non-negotiable. Like, you know, and you could call it stubborn, you could call it what you want, but what she stood on was what she stood on and I didn't.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to have, like you said, not a level of stubbornness where you're ignorant and you refuse to shift and know what like companionship is, but also just a level of like, okay, I'm coming in knowing this about myself, knowing this about my needs, like these things aren't going to change. And I think, like, for example, for me, I'm a Christian, I prioritize my love for God. Spirituality wasn't her priority. It was in a different sense, like she had a different belief system. And you know, like as we talked about on this show, I'm not a stickler for how people approach God, like that wasn't it at all. But it got to a point where she literally said to me, like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's a higher power. And this was most recently. And I didn't know that she felt like that. I felt like we felt differently about how we approached God, not about his existence, you know? And when I heard it, I said, okay. Like, it was just literally like me being like, okay, that doesn't bother me. That does bother me. That does bother me, because on my list of being like adaptable, I also wrote that I want somebody to pray for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have mental health issues, life be life, and I need somebody to literally go to war on my behalf.
Period.
And it also changes how you view yourself. A lot of inner struggles that she has and a lot of the demons and things that she's been fighting is you feel like you have to do them alone. And, you know, I had stated in my grief episode that like the hardest time I've ever had was when I told God I didn't need him, I got it. And I could see like that struggle within herself, but it's not my position to force that. And it's not my position to stay while you figure it out. So yeah, I want somebody ready. And I kept convincing myself I wasn't ready because she wasn't ready. So she wasn't ready. I'm like, she has things to work on. I was like, I have things to work on too. No, I'm ready to love somebody.
Yeah.
There's things I need to work on, but they're workable and they're fixable. And they're not in terms of how I show up for people. I don't have to work on that. Like, I got that down.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can, I mean, you've been ready for a very long time, if we're being honest. I think you've been ready for a long time, because the way you show up in relationships is pretty grounded. And like, you honor people, you show up, you have your boundaries, you want to honor people's boundaries, like you have it. Yeah. And really, I said it in the episode that we never aired, but it was like right you, wrong person.
I needed to hear that, because some heartbreaks will make you try to change yourself.
Yeah.
And like, I'm realizing, like, I love how I love. I just need to love the right person.
Absolutely.
That's it. Everybody don't deserve it. She ain't getting it from me no more.
Nope.
That's on what, my mama?
Period. Happy Pride. Happy Pride.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
I don't know why I felt the need to say that at that moment, but
I have no idea why either, but thank you. It's received.
Okay, good. No problem.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. How are you feeling now?
After this conversation, great. Yeah. it might shift.
Of course.
It's in and out. I miss her, but I'm also realizing like the amount of chaos and internal chaos not being aligned with somebody creates, like, my brain was noisy, you know, like I was sad, I was upset, I was flustered. And although I'm sad now, it's more like a mourning and a permanent feeling. Like, I know that it's going, when I'm done, I'm done, versus being in a relationship where my feelings are triggered and swayed by how you move today. I can't afford to feel like that anymore. I can't.
Mm-mm. Yeah. You have a lot on your plate. You have a lot of amazing things that you want to accomplish. And at this point in your life, the relationship that you deserve is one that assists you in that and doesn't create extra confusion or chaos or questioning yourself and what you feel ready for, you know, like this is another level in your life that you're reaching. And so I hope you know that as we continue this project of our podcast, as you continue your book writing, as we continue on our goals that we have set with each other, as you elevate, the quality of your relationships will continue to elevate. And not to put a limit on it, like the next person is your person or the next two people, like none of that matters, but it only gets better.
I know what to run from. I'll tell you that.
Exactly. And see, and that's the beautiful part about like failed relationships. And of course it takes time for you to like, not even say failed, relationships that just didn't work out.
Right.
Like I said, there's a lesson in every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a lesson, and this was your lesson to realize you don't need to conform for no bitch.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. You don't need to shift how you show up in relationships for no bitch.
No. I need somebody who's ready. That's what I've learned. Ready. She told me she wasn't ready when we first met.
Mm.
And you sit with that and you listen. And man, that's how I'm going to hear it. That's how I'm going to hear it.
If that is like such a common experience that women go through.
Mm.
So many times people will be like, actually, I don't really want a relationship right now.
I don't have capacity for it.
They don't got the time, whatever it is.
Yep.
But when we like someone enough and we see the potential or there is something there, whether it's we're ready to be chosen, we're ready to be in a relationship, like Risa Tisa said, right? She was like, I went through all this bullshit because I was ready to be chosen.
I feel you, Risa. I feel you. It's sad when you look back on it, but I think we've all been there. I think it's a human experience and brave for her to acknowledge it, to be honest.
Absolutely. And it's brave for you to acknowledge it, you know, even fresh off of it, you know? And so I'm proud of you. And as you go through it, I, of course, will continue to support you, whether all of what happened today goes out the window. You're like, actually, I'm pissed. You know, I'm actually still, and, you know, the healing process is, you know, it not takes linear. Time. Mm-hmm. But I just know that you telling your story, someone's hearing this right now is like, oh my gosh, I thought I was alone. Please. I literally thought it was just me, period. And I love that. What advice do you, what I know I asked this before, but what's that like overarching advice?
There's more and there's better. It, weirdly enough, this is going to sound so creepy. I saw this girl on Instagram, right? This is going to sound so creepy. Okay, it's going to sound creepy. Okay, so I saw this girl on Instagram, looked exactly how I would want, like who I would be attracted to, started reading like her posts and all this stuff and, you know, just very similar in thought, talking about God, just all these things. And I told my therapist about it because I'm weird. And she was like, no, that's for you to know people like that exist. Like that's literally.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it was like, people really exist with everything that you want. They're not perfect, but there's patience will get you what you want. Patience and prayer.
Patience and prayer will get you what you want. Boom.
Yeah.
Wow. Wasn't that just perfect?
It was. Thank y'all for sitting around for it.
No, I'm so glad. Yeah, y'all, this is like the real nitty gritty things that we discuss here at Fly Talks. Like this isn't just us like preaching into the void of like, this is what we've learned and what God is telling us. Like, literally, we do this shit on a daily basis. Like,
God is telling us.
God is saying, I think I believe, you know what I'm saying? Like, and sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Your girls can't get preachy. We be preachy. However, like, these are real life accounts of what we're going through. And we just hope that as you continue to listen, you know that we are walking this path along with y'all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And if there's any, I'm going to post something along with our next episode, just to remind you guys, if you have any questions, if there's anything you want us to touch on, just let us know, because I don't know. There's a lot of thoughts out there and we're all more similar than different. So
absolutely.
Just let us know.
Yes. Send us an email to flytalkspodcast@gmail.com for all of your, you know, questions, suggestions, whatever it is that's on your heart that you would love for us to discuss. We are here for that because we're building a community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, y'all.
Thank you so much for listening, for being here. Jessica, thank you for sharing your story. I love you dearly. You did that. You did that, mama. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Pray I don't regret it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. If you do, I'm going to talk you off the ledge.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Fly Talks.
Out.
Fly away.
Oh.
Come on, man.
Fly away. Bye.
Fly away. Bye.